You're listening to I Got That One,
presented by Tom Anyone.
Well, we're back again, and it's unbelievable that we've been spoiled with such amazing matches, two episodes in a row.
Yeah, this was much different compared to last season, where we were off to a really slow start. But this time we had another team almost crack 200 points already in the second match.
Yeah, and that's not the only stat which is really, you know, I wouldn't say awe-inspiring, but definitely something that's worth keeping an eye on so far, as we'll get into when we get to Stats Corner. But I mean, obviously, it's still very early in the season. It could go completely downhill from here, but I very much doubt that. I think that the quality is a bit higher this season. And I think it's a combination of not just the teams, because I feel like this is what happens when you try to diversify your teams. But also, I think the types of questions we're getting, I think they're really more kind of all-rounded. And there have been some really fascinating ones, which I'd like to talk about later.
Yeah, and some of these universities, I mean, they're not your usual Oxford or Cambridge universities. For example, Newcastle Open, we saw them last season. Newcastle, I don't think we've seen it. Well, at least for me, in the last three or four seasons that I've been watching, I don't think we had Newcastle.
We've not seen them recently, that's for sure. Jeremy didn't mention anything about this being their first time, so they've definitely
been, you know, around before, but at least, you know, this might be the first time in a few years, so it doesn't seem like they are maybe as well represented as some of the Oxford or Cambridge colleges, or like UCL or Imperial, you know, one of these kind of big universities.
It goes without saying, there's always at least, I don't know, five or six Oxbridge teams taking part, and then I don't think Manchester's failed to make it to this stage in a long, long time.
Yeah, exactly.
So no, you have your nice usual greats, yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice to see, I suppose, what you can call an underdog university or maybe a less represented university doing really, really well already.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not just a case of, you know, one not so strong team versus someone who's taking it easy. No, I think these two teams were very strong. Definitely were showing their stuff. It's just, this time round, I think there was a much clearer kind of winner this time round.
Yeah, unlike the nail-biting finish last week.
Yes, I mean, I don't think we're going to have that many nail-biters for the rest of this first season.
I mean, hope there will be.
Yeah, I'm probably going to eat my words, but this is definitely, it was a bit more comfortable, I would say, for as a kind of viewing experience.
So with a final score of 115 to Open and 195 to Newcastle, I think we can start just very quickly going over the two teams in terms of their specializations. I thought that both were actually quite well balanced. We had both humanities and STEM people on both sides. But I did feel like with Newcastle, the specializations ran a little bit deeper. So we had Ingham doing that PhD.
Yes.
And then we had Lam doing that very specialized master's.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could have, you know, given them that edge as well.
Said they were well-rounded, but it's definitely kind of more because they're on two very opposite scales.
Yeah.
Where you have one which is looking at, you know, theories where you're kind of looking at brains and medicine. The other half, we have linguistics and film theory.
Yeah.
Which
looking
is
at brains, yes.
You know, I mean, you could kind of, if you squint, kind of see through a connection, but just in a way that everything is mathematics if you, you know, abstract it far enough.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that Open is definitely far more, I would say, well-rounded, because you had a real kind of cut across, not just humanities versus STEM, but different fields within these particular
and
disciplines.
Yeah, and maybe more generalized as well compared to Newcastle, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think that might just be the nature of the types of programs available at Open University.
Yeah, and again, it's very nice to see a university like Open contesting, because, you know, it's all about adult learning, going back to school, lifelong learning, that sort of thing. Which is great. It's an opportunity for anyone at any age who is interested in getting a degree, going back to learning, going back to school.
Yeah, and it's not just, just throwing a bone to a small minority group. 57% of, you know, students are, you know, people taking learning later in life, either as their first degree or as a graduate student.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, quite a large number, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, it's a whole conversation to be had about the nature of the workforce and how skills are getting obsolete faster and faster, which is perhaps not the best thing, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is me speaking as someone who has not one but two graduate programs under his belt, so,
Moving on.
Yes, indeed. So I think we should just talk about their performances, to be honest. And let's start with Open.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this is probably going to get lost in the conversation as the series goes on. But I think they really acquitted themselves well. And it's just that it was unfortunately not their night when it came to starters.
Yeah, that's true. I think that Newcastle really pulled ahead with some great starters, especially from Ingham and Speller.
Mm.
That really helped the whole team pull forward.
Yeah, but it's definitely a case of where on both teams we saw, you know, a wide variety of people buzzing in. Everyone had their chance to shine. And I think both teams showed, apart from a couple of occasions, really good communication and conferring.
Yeah, true, I thought so.
Before we move on, I do want to mention the miscommunications between Key and Lam.
Oh, you mean that really funny last one?
Not once, but twice. Mm-hmm. Like, both two times, either Key misheard Lam, or in a panic, went back to a previous conversation that they had and gave.
Yeah, I thought the one about the palm door and Ken, that was actually very forgiving on Paxman's part.
I think it's because, you know, because they're mic'd up now, he could very clearly hear what she was saying. And she was saying it with so much conviction. I was like, no, that's not what I said. It's just Ken. It's not Ken. So I think because it's very clearly, it's just he was mishearing. I think he was being a little bit more generous this time around.
I think so.
Yeah. So I think it's not a case of, you know, it's before the conspiracy theories about misogyny start inevitably.
Oh, no.
I think it's very clearly just, in the heat of the moment, you know, people mishear things. Mm. And also, Elizabeth Lam did go on Twitter to mention, to be fair, it's hard to hear each other, even with microphones and earpieces, with the plexiglass in the way.
Yeah, I can imagine how hard that must be.
Yeah, she also had a bit more colourful language, which I'll not repeat on air, because, you know.
But you can find that on Twitter anyway.
Yeah, go find her on Twitter. She's very easy to find these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say both teams did definitely confer well. I think that the buzzing game was on point, as we will see when it comes to the stats later on.
Yeah.
So it really is just a case of it was Newcastle's night.
Yeah, it really was. I'm looking forward to seeing them next time.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, considering just how powerful a performance we saw last week.
Yeah.
I think it's quite unlikely that we're going to see Open come to the, again to the best scoring losers.
Because last season, the highest scoring losers were around 135.
135 was the cutoff, yeah.
Yeah, so at the rate this is going, I mean, we only have two episodes so far, but at the rate it's going, it's likely to be higher this time. Wager maybe 150.
Ooh, that would be interesting, because if it's all 150 and above, that's going to make it very, very tough to, for any team to get through.
Yeah, so we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Bristol have the work cut out for them, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Do you want to talk about some questions?
Yes, we're not going to go in detail like we did last season, because, I don't know, I feel like we get caught in the weeds a little bit. But I do want to mention a couple of things. One is that you can definitely tell that you have a very diverse question-setting team, because you had a lot of very what could be considered kind of queer interests being brought to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, we had a whole thing about musical theatre. I mean, that's a very kind of, stereotypical.
Right.
But then you also had one about that particular author, Waters,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't realise until I was looking on Twitter, that that's really big, especially for the lesbian community
in the
UK.
Absolutely.
So I think that there were a lot of people really enjoying a kind of, you know, visibility.
Exactly. And then putting a lot of, like we talked about this before, the more you kind of put these kinds of questions out there, get people thinking, putting them into the general knowledge scape of the world of universities, I think the more enlightened we become.
Yeah. And also one I really liked was the question about, you know, relating to neuroatypicism, because it wasn't just, oh, who coined this term and so forth. It was definitely trying to highlight, you know, autistic people within the field studying their own, issues. And I especially liked the last question when it was referenced that ADHD is slightly problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Asperger's is problematic because the person who coined it had very close ties to the Third Reich, which is a polite way of saying he was a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about, you know, changing the language and actually talking to people who suffer from these conditions.
Absolutely.
Suffer is not a good word, but
Live with.
And I just mentioned it as someone who has been diagnosed with ADHD. It's nice to have these kind of conversations, even if it's just a question format, to have it being brought up and having, you know, very good answers from the Newcastle team. I thought that was, it was just nice to see, you know?
Yeah, and exactly, especially with certain conditions that are already so stigmatized, that if you don't actually include people who live with these conditions, who know what it's like, to be part of the research, then you're going to just continue perpetuating a lot of these stereotypes. So, for example, with autism, in the field of autism, for example, they prefer identity first language rather than person first. So with a lot of other conditions, we say, oh, this is a person living with XYZ condition. But within the autism community, they prefer to say I am autistic, or, you know, rather than I'm a person living with autism. And I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, and also because speaking about removing stigma, you know, what it means to be autistic has a wide variety of meanings.
Yeah.
You know, the most extreme end are people who, you know, do need assisted living because of the condition is quite strong, to where you have people where it's just they have a slightly harder time understanding certain social cues.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's a whole spectrum.
Yeah, and also, you know, the term high functioning is not a good term because people have their days where sometimes they're perfectly fine living in this very kind of structured neurotypical world. And other days where they have a meltdown, and it's not because anything's wrong with them, it's just they do not fit into this very constricting
what society expects them to be, which is normal, whatever that means. Anyway.
Yes.
I also like the question that the second picture round that showed stills of winning directors. I thought that was also very good.
Yes, that was nice because also it wasn't just the directors, but trying to name the awards that they won them at.
Yeah, exactly. So you have both that context clue, obviously the picture of the director themselves, which I thought Lam did a really good job on, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that she was well-versed in her various film festivals. I have to say, I only got one of them wrong just because I didn't know. I'm just not as familiar with the Santiago Film Festival.
Yeah, right.
Whereas, you know, Venice, you know, that's one that's quite well-known.
That's talked about a lot, yeah.
And also, you know, context clues, you know, what's a famous symbol of Venice? The lion with wings on the flag of the city. So,
yeah, exactly. And again, it's about what sorts of things make it to mainstream media.
For sure.
What do we know, what we don't know? That's often not something we choose to do, but what's presented to us. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm also kind of glad that I was able to, you know, recognize Chloe Zhao just view.
Yeah, right.
Because sometimes with directors, you don't really see what they look like. You just kind of get used to seeing their name.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you're kind of taken aback when you see, you know, what they actually look like.
Yeah, and also it's good to kind of dissociate between, especially women of color who are, in, you know, directing movies. It's good to dissociate that assumption that they must also be making a movie about women of color from the country that they're from. No, she directed Nomadland, which is completely, know, different context than you might think of.
Yeah.
But there you go.
And she also directed a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is of, you know, debatable quality, but I don't think that's her fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. One final question I do want to point out is the first picture round, purely because I didn't know that museums were kind of groups, especially in the UK.
Yeah, right.
Which would make sense because I've seen kind of, you know, Royal Navy Museum, you know, Tate Modern, I've seen in more than one place.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, it's just a common name. I didn't realize that they were part of the same kind of administrative group, I suppose.
I suppose, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Oh, also, fantastic music round, Beyonce music, which apparently they couldn't license, so they had to kind of work around that by saying,
so they used
what
the
inspired
sample. Yeah, exactly. Original sampled track, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think that they really enjoyed making Jeremy say 6 inches on live television.
I mean, that's always fun to hear.
Yeah, it's always fun to make Jeremy just say things.
So, moving into some stats.
Yes, please, tap me up.
Stat you up. So, courtesy of UC Stats on Twitter, again, this time we did not have any incorrect interruptions.
That is a stat I was kind of hinting at the beginning, because apparently last season there were only 3 games where there were no incorrect interruptions.
Right, this one we're already seeing 2 in a row starting us off. So, 9 interruptions in total, but none of them were incorrect, obviously.
That is incredible.
Yeah, then Newcastle came in with 10 starter questions correct compared to Open's 7. So obviously Newcastle got more bonuses. And even then they edged out Open a little bit. They got 19 out of their 30 bonus questions correct, and Open got about 9 out of 21.
Yeah, I think definitely when it came to the bonus questions, it helped that there were quite a few that really fell into wheelhouses of those that were being asked, because there were some medical ones that I think Speller was really kind of putting in.
True.
Ingham also had this kind of moment where he was just, you know, going answer.
Yeah.
Lamb as well. So I think it just goes to show that once again, disciplines don't necessarily translate to your actual
interests,
breadth of knowledge.
Or knowledge. Yeah, exactly. And even Newcastle's bonus score was about 63%. And we've said before that that's usually
high 50s, low 60s is kind of what you need to aim for. Yeah.
Yeah, and a sign of a really strong team as well.
Yeah, because especially once you get so many questions or bonus rounds, that's kind of, if you're able to kind of normalize towards that particular ballpark,
yeah,
then
exactly. Then
you're
Gucci. Kind of in the safe zone.
Yeah, so
all right.
Even if Open do get a chance to come back, I think that they're going to have to, you know, really hope that the bonuses are slightly kinder to them this time around, or maybe try and dissect what went wrong so that they can kind of work on it next time.
Absolutely.
But I think that is enough about these things. Now we need to talk about what we're really here for, like the real interesting stuff, and that is, of course, the best dressed.
All right, so on the count of three.
Well, first, I want to mention that...
Oh, yes, we did a poll yesterday.
We did a poll. I kind of, left it a bit longer than I should have. But the options were Lamb, Baker, Twigg and McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
It's very open heavy, but I just thought that in terms of my personal opinion... Well, let's see who won. Yeah, Lamb won.
Okay.
So let's see, what was our...
All right, on count of three. One, two, three. Also Lamb.
I mean, yeah, it was just...
Just this beautiful, silky, almost velvety-looking print top paired with those bangs and those piercings. I thought that was all in all really nice look.
I'm really glad that, you know, a woman is able to go on British television with a septum piercing. And as far as I could see, there were no awful comments about it, you know, knock on wood.
Yeah.
But I would say my runner-up was Baker.
Yeah.
I thought that she had a very fetching orange top, and just the whole outfit really just worked well.
Very sunny.
But I would say, you know, also the other two on the Open team, you know, McGregor, wonderful knitwear, always going to get some bonus points.
Indeed.
And Twigg's blazer, just
very
delicious.
Very sharp.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've really been getting some nice looks so far.
We've been blessed.
Yeah, I mean, again, it could all go completely downhill. I'm just waiting for the first, you know, all hoodie team.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah,
I'm
think
pretty sure it's coming.
I'm predicting an Oxford or Cambridge team is going to come on with all hoodies.
We'll see.
Like we saw last season.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is this episode. So, thank you very much for tuning in again. As always, we are open to hearing your opinions about, you know, what you thought was great about the game, what you thought was not so fantastic. You know, we'd like to hear your ideas of what was best dressed, and you can find us at our usual channels.
Yeah, so we're on Twitter as I Got That One, and you can even drop us an email at igtopodcast@gmail.com.
Indeed. But until next week, it is goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.